Praise God. God's good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I'm going to continue on in our series of messages. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm therefore, having belted your waist with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace." Hallelujah. We've been looking over the past several months. We started this back in January, the 10th actually, and I remember saying then I didn't know how long it was going to take. I still don't know how long it's going to take. But we have seen the Apostle Paul encourage believers to walk in and utilize the inherent power that resides on the inside of us that comes as a result of being born again. You've got the Holy Spirit that comes to take up residence. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so you've got power on the inside of you, whether you realize it or not. You've got the power of God residing on you, taking up residence in you. And it's up to us to tap into that power. Amen? And Paul says that when you do that, you'll be able to stand firm and defeat the strategies the enemy tries to use to destroy your faith, to destroy your witness, to steal from you, whatever it may be. Ultimately, his plan is to destroy you, take you out. Paul doesn't just suggest here, as we've seen, to put on the armor of God. He commands believers to put it on and to keep it on and to pick up and use every weapon and every piece of armor that God has made available to us. As we've seen, Paul tells us we first must have the belt of truth firmly in place. Coming to know the truth, then you have to accept it as the truth. Amen? I mean, you can hear the word, you can hear the word, you can hear the word, but until you accept it as truth, and as Brother Jim was talking about downstairs this morning, you begin to apply it in your life, you begin to appropriate it in your life, you begin to manage your life and structure your life according to the word. Until you do that, it will not make a difference. You can hear it, you can be hearers of the word and not be a doer of the word. Amen. As James, we read that downstairs this morning. Once you accept that, then you need to get it in you and secure it in your heart and secure it in your mind. And when you do that, then you will come to an understanding. You can begin then to apply the word and then see what all these pieces of armor actually mean from the word of God. They're not just something that we read and just talk about and it's all just types and shadows. These are real things. Your righteousness, your peace, your salvation, amen, your faith. We need to know what those mean, the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to know what it means in our everyday life, how it relates to you. After you secure that belt of truth, you say, well, this is the word. I know it's the truth. I'm accepting it. I'm living my life that way. That everything else is secured to that belt of truth. Once you put that truth on, and you start living that truth, then you start, everything else takes place. The breastplate of righteousness that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Your identity, it protects who you really are, the core you, the inner man. You are a child of God. You are the righteousness of God. Amen? You don't have to strive. You can't earn righteousness. We've seen from the scripture that righteousness is a gift from God. Amen? That when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, through faith in Him, you obtain righteousness. And you're as righteous as you're ever going to be. Amen? You are placed in right standing with God. Righteousness is a position. It's not a lifestyle. Holiness is a lifestyle. Amen? Sanctification is a process of living your life and getting your flesh under control. How many of you know that that's a lifelong process? Amen? You're going to be working on sanctification until you go home to be with the Lord. Amen? So we just need to do that. But the next piece of armor that Paul talks about here is strapping on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. And when you read that, it seems a little bit out of place. Amen? He's talking about all this, putting on the armor, and you put on the loin of truth, and then you put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the next thing he talks about is putting some shoes on. Preparing your feet. Amen? Well, that's a little bit odd. But when you really think about it, you don't know how important your feet are until you hurt your foot. Amen? Anybody ever stepped on like a piece of glass and you cut the bottom of your foot? And for days you're walking around and every time you step on that thing, and you may have it medicated up and you've got Band-Aid on it, but it still lets you know it's there. Amen? And you're not be able to do everything you want to do. So your feet are very important. And we need to look at that. Your feet play a big part in keeping you steady and keeping you balanced. Ephesians 6:15, the Amplified says, "And having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news." Firm-footed stability. Amen? Shoes were essential to the success of a soldier in battle. His life depended on it, whether or not he had the proper shoes. Amen? Because if he lost his footing, when you're talking hand-to-hand combat, your enemy could push you down, push you backward, you lose your balance, you end up dying. Plain and simple. It was a matter of life and death. A Roman soldier's sandals, we talked about this a little bit several months ago, probably, about those sandals were strapped on their feet, but they had little nails in the bottom of them. They were all the way through it, like kind of like cleats. So you could dig in. So they were steady. They were stable. When they took their stance, their feet weren't going to slide out from underneath of them. They were going to be ready. Amen? So they were prepared for any type of surface when they went into battle. And I'm sure that they looked at all the experiences of other soldiers and figured out we need something in our feet to hold us steady. We don't want to lose our balance. Amen? There have been victories and defeats because of solid footing or the lack thereof in other soldiers. So the Romans were always prepared. At the time, they were the greatest military force in the world. They trained. They were prepared. And they didn't forget about your feet. The stability. The idea behind the word translated as readiness or preparation is that we need to prepare and be ready for anything that we might encounter. It's the Greek word hetomosia, and it means a readiness, a fitness for, a preparedness, preparation in the active sense of making ready. Amen? Since we're headed into spiritual battle, Paul has told us that the enemy, he shared, he's got a formulated plan of attack against us. We need to make sure that we're prepared for that. Amen? Don't just because something happens to you, don't just think that God's mad at you. How many people have that mindset? That God's trying to teach them something. That God is mad. Christian people. Amen? Peter and James both talk about don't think it odd and don't think it anything other that these fiery trials have come upon you. Amen? They both kind of point the direction that things are going to happen. Stuff's going to happen in your life. You're going to face temptations. You're going to face trials. You're going to face tests. Don't lose sight of the fact of where it's coming from. Amen? The preparation of the gospel of peace. Ready yourself. Don't be expecting bad things to happen. But when they happen, you say, oh yeah. Well, praise the Lord. God's going to see me through. Amen? Doesn't matter what the enemy throws at me. Doesn't matter whether it's financial, physical, emotional, mental, whatever it may be. My God is bigger and better, and He's going to help me through this. Amen? And we don't have to get shook up. We need to be prepared. You've got a sure foundation that the enemy doesn't catch you off guard and knock you off balance. I mean, there's times when you may get a report or the doctor may tell you something, it kind of takes you back. Am I right, Brother Jim? And you're like, whoa. Or you get that bill and you're already tight and you get that bill and you're like, oh my goodness, how am I going to take care of that? But when you have a steady foundation, you have the peace of God, that it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you, it doesn't matter how hard charging he comes at you, you're set and you're dug in and you're not going to be moved by what you see. Amen? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? The gospel of peace refers to the good news that we can in fact have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The good news of Jesus. The good news that God loved us so much that He sent Jesus to die for us. And Jesus loved us so much that He went to the cross for us. And that it just didn't end there. That on the third day the Spirit of God entered into Him and resurrected Him from the dead. Amen. And that He stripped power and He stripped authority from the enemy. And now all power and all authority is with Him. Amen? That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That He made a way for us to be reconciled to God. To have peace with God so that we can have peace in our lives. Glory to God. We need to have that settled. We need to be dug in that. That the enemy's not going to knock us off balance and we're not going to get in fear. We're not going to get in worry. But we've got the peace of God on the inside of us. The Greek word implies that a firm and solid understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ will do that. It will cause us to dig in. When the enemy comes at me with deception, I have an understanding and am firmly grounded in the truth of the gospel. Amen? We should all have a peace that nothing should rattle our confidence of who we are in Jesus Christ. That we are the righteousness of God. Amen? Nothing should rattle that. We are the righteousness of God. It should give us confidence of who we are in Christ and who we are in relationship to our Heavenly Father. Look at Romans chapter 5. Everybody doing okay this morning?
Yeah.
Romans chapter 5. We need to get this in us. We need to walk around like this every day. As I said, it's not just getting up every morning and putting the armor on. It's sleeping with the armor on. Amen? You know, you're just as righteous when you're sleeping as you are when you're awake. Amen? You should have just as much peace when you're sleeping as when you are awake. Amen? Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what?
Peace
with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Justified by faith, we have peace with God. Some key words here in these passages of Scripture. You got faith, you got peace, and you got grace. Amen? None of us deserve peace. None of us deserve righteousness. It's only because of grace. Amen? Going down to verse 8. All the rest of them scriptures are really good too. But verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew what a sinner you was. All the dumb things you were ever going to do. All the dumb things you were ever going to say. All the wicked things you were ever going to do. All the wicked things you were ever going to say. And he died on the cross for you anyway. So when the enemy comes to you and starts trying to rattle your cage and get you off and get you upset about what you did or that thought you had, you just need to remind him, no, 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 no. I am the righteousness of God through faith. It's the grace of God. It's only by grace that I'm saved. I couldn't do anything to earn all this. It's because the love of God that God has for me. Amen. Dig your heels in. Get your feet planted and say, you know what? I'm not moving. Amen? I'm not going to move. He says, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Hallelujah. Praise God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. That word reconciliation really means moving from an enemy to moving to a friend. Amen. Just like that friend of yours, Shane, everybody, they weren't going to mess with him. They weren't going to mess with you because you were his friend. Got the same thing with God. Amen. God is on your side. God's got your back. Amen. When the enemy comes against you, you say, hey, you see who's standing behind me? My big brother. He's already whipped you once. You want him to do it again? That's a mentality we have to have. Amen? If we don't, the enemy's going to come in and he's going to try to get you off and deceive you and get you to look at how you're doing everything in your own strength. It has nothing to do with you. Amen? It all has to do with God. The only thing you got to do is trust him. And have faith in him. Look at Romans 15. Romans 15, 13. Romans 15, 13. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Good News Bible translation says, "May God, the source of hope, fill you with all joy and peace by means of your faith in Him, so that your hope will continue to grow by the power of the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is going to fill you with peace and to fill you with joy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." Amen. God wants to give you his peace. He wants you to have that peace. He wants you to dig it in, set your feet, so that you're not going to be rattled. Amen? Because when people hear the word peace, one of the things that just pops into their mind is the end of war. Some people, it's freedom from strife or worry. Maybe to some, when you visualize peace, it's sitting in the mountains just all by yourself and it's quiet. Some people might be walking on the beach. A lot of people are just looking for peace in their lives. We've got the answer for that. Amen? Peace, the peace of God. God will give you peace. In Paul's description of the Christian's armor, he's reminding us to be ready for battle by keeping our feet firmly planted in the truth of the good news. We must have a solid grasp, a sure footing, so to speak, in regard to what the good news teaches about living in peace, about where peace comes from. There's too many people, too many Christians out there that profess to be Christians, but they're always walking in defeat. It's not supposed to be that way. They're always worried. They're in fear. Amen. They have no peace. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, should bring peace into your life. Amen. It should settle you down. It'll give you that sure footing. The biblical words for peace do not mean the absence of tension or conflict, but rather a tranquility of order. Thayer's definition means, some of the definitions they have, the exemption from the rage and havoc of war, peace between individuals, security, safety, prosperity. Because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. There may be chaos all around us, but a person with God's Spirit inside remains at peace because there is order in their life. Amen? Because you order and you live your life according to the Word. Not how the world lives. Not how people around you live. They may look at you and say, "Man, they're just at peace all the time. Nothing gets them rattled. Nothing gets them upset." But you have order. You have stability. God's peace is rooted in spiritual terms, not physical terms. Amen? The Hebrew concept of shalom is much more positive than merely the absence of conflict. It speaks of wholeness and well-being, and that includes our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Hallelujah. We can be at peace with God. Amen? God's peace is so much deeper because it goes to the core of our soul rather than the outward appearance of things around us. I mean, look around us. Worry and fear and anxiety are at epidemic levels in our culture. We've got children that are on medication because of anxiety, fear. We've got adults that they live in fear constantly. Panic attacks. The enemy wants you to do all that. He wants you to live like that. But through God, through our faith in God, through our faith in Jesus Christ, God will give you peace. Amen? Peace in the midst of a storm. People will be looking at you like, man, what is going on with them? They didn't get rattled at all. How can you be at peace? How can you remain calm? It's because who's on the inside of me? Amen? The Word of God says that I'm an overcomer. Amen? If you didn't have to overcome or thing, you wouldn't have to go over something. Amen? There's going to be things that come into your life. Today, the world is full of stress. You aren't going to find the peace you need today apart from God. Amen? The only place you and I will ever experience the true peace we long for is in God Himself. The only true peace we will find is when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, and lasting peace is found in that relationship. You come near to God, you make Jesus the Lord of your life, the Word of God says He will give you peace. He will fill you with joy. He will fill you with peace. Look at John 16:33. John 16:33. Hallelujah. John 16:33, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Man, God wants to give us peace. He wants us to live in peace. Amen? We need to put that peace on all the time, because in the world that we live in, you watch the news, it's easy to get in anxiety. Amen? It's easy to get in fear. But you know what? No matter all the chaos that's going on around us, we are going to come through. Amen? The Word of God says, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging for bread." Amen? It doesn't matter what's going on around us. My God shall supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Amen? There may be chaos going on all around us, and we need to be at peace. Why? Because our God is bigger and can do above all that we can dare ask for, hope for. Pastor Will's paraphrase there. Whatever you can think of, you can't think of that He can't do bigger. Amen? God wants you to live in that peace and be grounded in that peace and set in that peace. Amen? Amen. Put those cleats on. Dig in. Remember who's underneath your feet? Just remind Him of that. Don't just do Him with your bare foot. Visually put them cleats on there and just grind it into Him. Amen? I mean, when I used to play softball, I always just dug in, man. I I couldn't just hit just standing there, my feet spin. I had to have some torque coming out of there. Amen? Wanted to dig in. Christ has made peace for us to God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. See, the enemy doesn't want you to get a hold of the fact that you are the righteousness of God, and that you, that it's a gift, that you can have peace, that it's a gift. Amen? You just need to tap into it. You need to grab a hold of that gift and appropriate it in your life and say, hey, the Word of God says I'm to have peace. Lord, I need that peace. Fill me with your peace. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 says, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made what?
Peace.
Through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And though you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. The peace of the gospel. Amen? The hope of the gospel. He says, faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, in the King James Version. You need to be grounded. You need to be settled. You need to be dug in. Amen? Not moving away from the hope of the gospel. The peace of the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ is that there is hope for everybody. Amen? It doesn't matter. Amen? You say, well, God couldn't possibly save them. Yeah, he could. Yeah. See, that was Jonah's problem. That's why he didn't want to go to Nineveh, because he didn't think they deserved a chance to repent. And he ran from God. And guess what? He ended up preaching it anyway. Because if you read it, and he says, later in Jonah, I believe it's chapter 4, he said, and you did. He said, I knew if I preached that they would repent. That's why he got ticked off. He didn't want to go, because he knew who God was. He said, I don't want to go there, God, because I know if I go there and preach, I don't like them people, and you're going to let them repent. That's really what it was all about. And he went and preached anyway, and it happened exactly what he thought was going to happen, that they repented and God relented, and he still got ticked off. And we can look at people and say, there's no way that God could save them. Oh, yes, there is. Amen. You're not their judge. You're not their savior. Amen. Nobody's hopeless. Nobody is hopeless. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 13. Says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have our access into one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Jesus came to bring peace between Jews and Gentiles. That's who he's talking about, the two here. There's no place for racism. There's no place for hate. Amen? The Word of God says we're all one. Amen? All one. And Jesus is our peace. God's righteousness is the basis of our peace and the foundation for our security in his love. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, the New King James Version reads, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything." Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything." Not in some things. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Don't get in anxiety. Don't get in fear. Amen. Just pray about it. Pray about it. Thank God that he's got the answer for you, that he is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. And whatever it is, he's going to provide for you. He will make a way. Amen? It's like that song we sang this morning. He's going to make a way. He's turning things around. Glory to God. Anybody ever had God turn something around for you in here? Amen. Glory to God. We need to get a hold of that. You need to go by what the Word tells you and what that inner witness that Brother Jim's been teaching about downstairs, what it tells you. How many of you have ever done something or made a decision that you knew that the Holy Spirit was saying, "Don't do that, don't do that, don't do that," and you went ahead and did it, and afterward you're like, "I wish I hadn't done that. Wish I hadn't done that. That was stupid." Whether it be a purchase or any other thing. Amen. Amen. Bought that new car you just couldn't live without. And then the first month that payment came, you're like, "Man, that was stupid." Yeah. Three, if you're lucky, maybe eight. Yeah. Amen. You're stuck with it. Amen. The Holy Spirit was trying to tell you, "Don't do that. Don't do that." Amen. Or times he's telling you to do things and you don't do it. Amen. That peace of God. You have to have that peace. Because if you don't, you'll get in fear and you won't. Because you don't know what things are going, what God has planned. Amen? You know, I remember when we were preparing to go to Rhema, and I've shared this a couple times maybe, but we were getting ready to go to Rhema, and I'd worked where I worked before for many years, and I had a great job there. To be quite truthful with you, it was an awesome job. And I was going to work one morning, and the Lord, this was like in October, and we were planning to move, go to Rhema in the following July. And I was going to work, and I was praying, and the Lord said, "You need to tell Fred you're leaving." And Fred was the owner of the company. I'm like, "Lord, why would I do that? I'm not leaving till July. I need a job until July, you know?" And so I got to work, and it just was still there. "You need to tell Fred. You need to tell Fred." And so finally I'm like, "All right, I'm going to go tell Fred. I'm going to trust you, Lord." And so I went in and said, "Hey, can I talk to you a minute?" And so I told him what my plan was. And he goes, "Well, I figured that was going to happen someday." And he goes, we'll look for somebody to take your place. And nothing ever happened. We interviewed several people. I don't like them. I don't like them. They don't have the qualifications. They're either more of an engineer, they're not a toolmaker, or they're a toolmaker, they don't have the engineering background that you do. Nobody's a good fit. Kept going and going and going. May comes, he goes, "I'm going to go to Florida. We'll get together when I get back." He always went to Florida every year to a house he had down in Naples. Him and his wife would go there for a couple weeks. He was going for the whole month. I asked his daughter, I said, "When is Fred coming back?" "You know, I'm leaving in July." "I know." So he comes back, comes in one day, says, "Hey, we'll get together tomorrow, talk about things." I said, "Well, you know, I'm leaving in July. And it's June. Don't have a lot of time to train anybody." He goes, "Okay." So the next day he comes out, he said, "Hey, let's get together. Talk about it." So I went in and sat down, and he's like, "How would you like just to keep working for us while you're in Oklahoma?" I'm like, "Well, how's that going to be possible?" He goes, "Well, you do a bunch of stuff on the computer all the time anyway, all the design work." He said, "We can just fly you back and forth to work on the weekends and other things, and we'll just do it that way. That way we don't have to hire somebody. You can still work and everything." I'm like, "Sounds good to me." Amen? But you know, who knows how that would have... My point is, who knows how that would have turned out if I hadn't went and told him months in advance. You know, in October. And I did. I worked for them the whole time we were in Rhema. We'd get out of class at 11 on Fridays. Karen would drive me to the airport. This was back when you didn't have to go through all the stuff you do now. She would drop me off at the airport. I would go in. I'd get on a flight at 12:05. Was a flight from Tulsa to St. Louis. And I'd get to St. Louis, jump off of there, and in 40 minutes I had another flight to Columbus, and I'd be in Columbus at 6 o'clock. Get a rental car. The rental car people knew me by name because I did it every week. And I did that for 2 years while we were in Bible college. God blessed us. God took care of... I went to school with guys that had to work third shift jobs, had to struggle. Also, we had good friends that he did the same thing. He was still working for the company he worked for in Massachusetts. He just did everything online back then. I mean, this is 20 years ago. But we just have to be willing to trust God. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what God is working out. Amen? When we sang that song about God's doing something, amen? We don't know what He's doing. We just need to follow that peace that He has. Be prepared no matter what's going on. You know what? God's got it. Amen. It was a blessing. I was able to go to school, came home in the afternoons, worked at the house, did things, did design work, whatever, turned in my hours. He was, well, whatever hours you work, I trust you, whatever. Amen. Favor. The favor of God. We took our whole family on a vacation, flew for free because of all the air miles that I had. Amen. Frequent flyer miles. Bought a ticket for everybody. So just trust God. That's the point of that illustration, is we don't know. We don't know. Amen. We gotta live by the peace, that inner witness. I knew that I wasn't going to be at peace until I told him that I was leaving. I could have not done it that day, but the next day, guess what? God was going to say, you need to tell Fred. You need to tell Fred. You need to tell Fred. I just got it out of the way. I went and told him, and God worked it out. Amen? And it was months of just trusting God. That's the peace that we have. Amen? Be anxious for nothing. When the enemy attacks, you can expect one of the areas that most certainly will see action in the war is the area of peace. Especially the area concerning your relationship with God. Our enemy will do everything in his power to rob you of your peace. He'll slip in those subtle thoughts that God couldn't possibly love somebody like you. God doesn't even know who you are. Amen? Maybe he just tells me things like this. He knows what kind of person you really are. That because of all the things that you've ever done, he's still going to get you someday for all that. You only deserve judgment. You don't deserve anything from God. When the enemy tells you all those things, you need to go back at him with the truth of God found in the Word, found in the Gospel. Because that tells a completely different story. Amen? The truth, when you know it, is what enables you to hold your position in battle. To stand firm through all the attacks of the enemy, when everything has been said and done, to still be standing. Make sure your footing is secure, that you don't slip and that you don't stumble. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll close with this. Hebrews 13, verse 20, says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. God wants to do a work in you. Amen? He wants to do things. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Amen. We're being changed. We're being conformed to the image of His dear Son. The more you see about Jesus, the more you understand about Jesus, the more you accept about Jesus, the more you conform to His image. Amen. The more that you will be like Him, the more that you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. We just need to dig our heels in and say, you know what? I've got the peace of God. Nothing's going to rattle me. It may push me back a little bit. It may try to get me off center a little bit, but I'm going to quickly refocus and I'm going to get my balance back and I'm going to be stable. Amen? Hallelujah. Father God, we thank You and we praise you for the peace. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace that comes from knowing you. The peace that comes as a gift from you, as our faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for that peace. And Lord, I pray for everybody here today, everybody listening, Lord, for that peace just to flood their minds, to flood their souls, to flood their hearts, Lord, just to give them that stability, that order in their life. Just thank you for that and praise you for that and give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.